Right. We're in Genesis, the ninth chapter, and verse number 21, 20 and 21. We study in this from Hebrew. Roger, do you think you could get Ron a one of those interlinears, please?
If there's an extra one, because I left mine at home. I
can. All right. We'll go from 9:20. We'll have Sharon read that in the Amplified Bible quickly, if you want to come up here and read that. 9:20 and 21. 9:20 and 21.
And Noah began to cultivate the ground, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, and he became drunk, and he was uncovered and lay naked in his tent.
All right, he was uncovered and lay naked in his tent. 9 and verse 21. Now, we're going to read 21 in Hebrew, and then we'll look at it from the grammar. Vayishiti. Men. Hai Yayin. That's oinos, by the way, in Greek. Vayishkar. Vayigal. Bithok. Aholah. Now, Noah is laying in his tent, and he's tipping the bottle of wine. It's the first wino. Okay? The first wino in the Bible. The first one. And the guy's laying there drunk. Now, I don't think many theologians don't think that the wine before the flood was alcoholic. But we've had a tremendous change after the flood. And the atmosphere has totally changed of the earth, hasn't it? Before the earth, what? Here we have, before the flood, we have an earth here. And the earth is Gondwana or Pangaea. Still is. It's earth on one side and water on the other side. And around the earth before, that doesn't work. Around the earth before was an ocean of water. This is all mayim, waters. All waters. This is a solid bubble of water around the earth, and the earth is completely protected from the rays of the sun. Now, after the flood, or when the flood came, we have how many sources of water? Three sources of water. The springs of the deep were flowing upon this dry earth. Springs of the deep. And then we have the oceans. The ocean in the sky had rivers of water pouring down. And then something happened that never happened before. We have a storm. And the voice of God is referred to as what in the Bible, Brother Roger?
Thunder.
Thunder. Because they believe that when they heard the thunder for the first time, they believed that God was speaking. And how many of you have heard thunder roll with lightning? Now, this was a tremendous lightning and storm like they had never seen before. And it rained, which it did not do before. We have storms that could have been tornadoes. No telling what hit. The most terrible storms that they've ever seen on the earth happened at this period of time. And water completely went over the tallest mountain on the earth at that time was what? Mount Ararat. That was the tallest mountain. Now, Whitney and the Sierras and the Rockies and everything, I'm not sure they even existed at this time, okay? Because in the days of Peleg, look at the chart over here. We're talking about a period of time right here. Right here is when we have the flood. Right here, we have the ocean in the sky. Right here, we don't have an ocean in the sky anymore. We've got a lot of clouds up there, but we don't have an ocean in the sky anymore. And that ocean in the sky is not protecting the earth, and people are going to live a lot shorter lives now. Before, they lived hundreds of years, and now they're going to only live 100, 200 years. Okay? But we have a flood. Now, after the flood, that the atmosphere. Now, there are how many heavens? Three heavens. The first heaven is the atmosphere. The atmosphere totally changed. It's not the same now as it was before. The earth is not the same now. The waters of the sky are not there like they were. There was a thick firmament above the earth. Now, the name for heavens is what, Brother Roger?
Hashemayim.
What does Hashemayim mean?
Uplifted waters.
Originally, the heavens were these uplifted waters. Now, the uplifted waters are not there anymore.
Did that completely cover around the earth?
The whole earth. The earth was in a bubble. The earth was in a wide, thick ocean in the sky. All the way around the earth, completely around the earth. The earth is completely covered with this ocean in the sky. Then the rivers, we have the floodgates of heaven were opened. And then it rained and stormed and lightning and all of this. This happened at this period of time. Now here man is down on the earth, okay? And the earth is still round. It wasn't flat. You know, Muhammad, the earth is flat like a carpet. And the Catholic Church tried, and of course, you know, where did he get all his information from? Catholicism. That's where he's got a flat earth, too. As a matter of fact, he's got seven or six of them flat and one of them's egg-shaped, according to Muhammad. But the one we live on is flat. And what holds this earth down, according to Muhammad? These mountains keep it from blowing away. It's like a carpet, okay? He believes this. They believe this, okay? The earth is round. The Bible says the earth is round. And the Bible says the earth is in one part in a cosmos. This word Hashemayim can be also used as the word universe. We know that. Barishit bara. Elohim et Hashemayim we et haaretz. That's what it says in Genesis 1 and 1. In beginnings, in one of the beginnings, God had created the heavens. And that word heavens there means what? It means universe, the cosmos. John 3:16, for God so loved what?
The cosmos.
Because God's going to redeem that cosmos back to himself. Not going to just going to redeem man, the man that will respond, but he's going to redeem the whole earth back to himself. Now here we have this ocean in the sky, which is not there anymore. Now after the flood, Noah is getting his wine bottle, and he's thirsty, and he's drinking. He's drinking, drinking, drinking. He's somewhere near Ararat. I don't know where that actually, you know, where he actually settled was somewhere down in the lower country from Ararat. They have found the ark several times on Ararat, according to many sources. Russians took pictures of it one time when the glacier subsided there for a while. They took some pictures of it and all these compartments and everything else. And the ark was not a ship. It's a great big storage box is what it was. A big storage box. About 450 feet long, a football field and a half long, and so many feet wide and so many feet high. And we studied all about that. Well, they're on this earth. Now, when he drinks this Genematos Tesam Plu, this Hayayim, okay, something's different about it. It's intoxicating. And so he just keeps drinking. His wife keeps drinking. And they're both drunk in their tent. Now there's a word for tent. The word for tent here is ahala. Ahala. There are at least six words in Hebrew for tent. One of them, of course, is ahala. Another one is Mishkan, Mishkan, Mishkan means tabernacle, a tabernacle, like that tabernacle over the wall over there, okay? That's a tabernacle, that covering. And then there's a Sukkah. What about this Sukkah, Brother Roger? What about Sukkah?
That's like a temporary shelter.
That's a temporary shelter.
It has like three sides and a roof you can see through.
Yeah, that's a lean-to. This is a Sukkah. This is what they call the tabernacles when they have the feast or tabernacles, okay? And then we have the word gubah, which means hollow place, belly. It means something carved out, maybe even a cave, whatever. Then we have another word, chana. It means an incline, like a shelf over in a ridge. You get underneath this shelf and you, use that as a shelter. And then we have the word machaneh. And that means another, it just means a covering. Okay, a covering. But the writer here decided to use this word ahalah. And the translator of the Septuagint, he says, in to oiko altu. In to oiko altu. In? What's that? In.
I might as well throw that one away.
In to. Okay. In. Where am I? In to. Oiko altu. Now, you guys, this is all foreign, but the rest of them know, you know some of this. What's the preposition in on page 137 in Analytical Greek Lexicon?
In.
What English word do we have from this?
In.
Oh, that's real hard, isn't it? Real hard. In. To. What is this? It's ha in Hebrew.
The.
All right. In the oiko.
Be.
What?
Be. Casa.
Yeah, house. House. In the house of him. In his house. Now, he had a house. It was his tent or whatever it was. Now, the man is married. He has three children. They're named Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And now he's in his tent. This is after the flood. Things have changed. He goes into his house, and there we are. He's in his house, in his tent. Ahel. And he drank, and he kept on drinking from the wine, oinos, or genematos teison plu, this fruit of the vine. We get a word oinos. From our, we get a word wine from oinos in Greek. Oinos in Greek. That's where we get the word wine. And this wine is the wine that they use in the Lord's Supper. It was on the table in the Passover, the hasador. And the wine will get you drunk because it's got alcohol in it. Ever since the flood, we know that with all grape juice, when you pick grapes, how long does it take for them to start fermenting? If you don't have refrigeration.
Not very long.
Right now. So it's in some state of alcohol all the time. So a lot of people, churches, Baptist churches, I've been preaching and pastoring in Baptist churches for 45 years. And Baptist churches fight over what to take for the Lord's Supper, what kind of beverage to take for the Lord's Supper, whether it's grape juice or wine. And we have the wino churches, and we have the grape juice churches. And they fight over this. And if you want to go see a little argument about it, just go listen to some of those CMBI sermons that I got on there, and one of the preachers gets up there, and he preaches in the chapel, and then another one stands up, and he says, "Brother, that causes nothing but division in the church." You know who that was? That's D.S. Madden. That shows how dumb you are. Causing trouble for these boys to cause trouble in these churches. He said, if a church takes wine, fine, but don't go into the church and try to make them take wine if they've been drinking grape juice. Some people are alcoholics. Alcoholics don't even need that wine at all. It's not good for them. Okay? Anyway, but it was wine. Ganamatos teison plu, period. But we have arguments over in the churches about this. I had people email me from all over the world. What did the Jesus churn the water into there at Cana of Galilee? It was not wine. It couldn't have been wine. That would have made people run, and he would have been a sinner by providing them with this wine that would make them drunk. People sure have weird ideas. Why not accept it for face value? He turned the water into wine.
Lots of it.
He turned the water into wine. Lots of it. Many gallons of it. That's a type of what? That's his first miracle. And how did he do this miracle? How did he perform this miracle? What by what power? The power of the Holy Spirit. Because he had emptied himself of all his divine powers. And then when the Jews said, you do all this by the power of Beelzebub, they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which is what? The unforgivable sin. Okay. Israel nationally committed the unforgivable sin by doing that. And that's why they got scattered all over the world. And the Lord allowed the Sicarii to put the final stroke. The Sicarii are what? The Jewish mafia, which were killing Roman soldiers, which was the ones that were at Masada. Never another Masada, they say. Oh, yes, there will be another Masada. Let's look at the end time, the tribulation period. He drank from the wine. This is real alcoholic wine. Ever since after the flood, wine, genematos teso, tes amplu, has, the fruit of the vine, has alcohol in it. And he drank and he kept on drinking, and he drank and he kept on becoming drunk. And he uncovered himself and kept himself uncovered in the middle of his tent. Nothing wrong with him getting naked in his house, was it? Nothing wrong with that. He's probably having sex with his wife, to tell you the truth. That's what's in the context. Okay? That's what's in the context. Now let's go on a little bit further. When he got drunk, he got passionate. Wayar, Tom, Avi, Chinan, Et, Erwith, Avi, Wayaged, Lishne, Ekov, Ba-chutz. And saw and kept on seeing Ham, his father. Now, I was so messed up tonight that I didn't bring all these books, but I could bring you the Talmud and all kinds of things, the Mishnah, and we could look at this from the Jewish standpoint. But I will give it to you in a Reader's Digest short form, okay? Ham saw his father and mother in embrace, evidently. Okay? That's what he saw. He kept on seeing his father. Now, if he saw his mother, he saw his father. Do you know that? Because your wife is you. And you can go back to the book of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all of these, and it keeps telling you that if you have sex with your sister, you're doing what? You're uncovering your father. If you have sex with your aunt, you're uncovering your father. This is him. This is what you're doing. You're dishonoring your father. And all of this is what it's talking about. Now, he saw his father. He saw Ham, his father. And then it says here, Canaan. That means low, flat, laying down. That's what the word Canaan means, laying down. And nakedness of his father. And he kept on making known to his brothers outside of the tent. He made known to this. Now, the rabbis will say that he walked into that tent and saw his mother in embrace. Many of the rabbis say he beat his father up and took his place and raped his mother. And Canaan was the product of that embrace. And they say that's the only reason why God would have cursed Canaan so bad. He didn't curse Ham, but he cursed the progeny of Ham. The progeny of Ham was Canaan, and most of the rabbis agree that they believe that it was the product of Ham's mother, which is Noah's wife, and that child was Canaan. Low, flat. What it means, low, flat. It also means possession. The diversity of character of Noah's sons are demonstrated here in these next few verses. It will be the character of these sons that will be in their progeny, all their children. A mother and a father do give gifts to their children, the good ones and the bad ones. The children usually take after the bad gifts, bad traits, don't they? After the bad traits. This is some pretty outstanding. The Bible does not blush to tell you things. Christine asked me a question this morning. How did they know that Timothy was circumcised or uncircumcised? They probably looked at him and inspected him. We don't think about that today when he went into the synagogues. Timothy was half Jewish, but he had a Jewish mother, which the Jews considered that to be him to be Jew. Circumcision was very important to them. When Eliezer swore on Abraham's thigh, what did it actually say, Christine? His groin. It was his male reproductive organ. He put his hand on that and swore by that because that was the power of his reproduction. Now, today, that would seem real screwy in our heads. But this is what they did back then. When the Bible talks about things, sometimes we blushingly do not translate this because it is so embarrassing. But if you do translate it, you better translate it right because we really know what they did. He swore by the power of his reproduction organ that he would go and find a wife for Isaac. He did that. Now, we have two types in the Old Testament of John the Baptist, or types of John the Baptist, which would be the antitype or the fulfillment of it. Who are those people in the Old Testament that are a type of John the Baptist?
Eliezer is one.
He's a type of the friend of the bridegroom. Mm-hmm. Okay? Which John the Baptist says, who is the other one that John the Baptist fulfilled? Jesus said he indeed was Elijah, which was going to come before and announce the coming of the Messiah. So we see this. All of these things are all tied together. The Bible is not a mysterious book. It's a very plain book. It's just God is omniscient, isn't he? Isn't he? So God can inspire these writers to use the words that they used when they wrote these books. And I believe in the inspiration of the Bible, the plenary complete inspiration of the Bible in the original language. It's not in the translation, but in the original language. That every tense, mode, and voice is inspired, and we can see that. And when you get those tense, modes, and voices, what happens to you? It will straighten your theology out. You won't go off on these little tangents. The diversity of character of Noah's sons are demonstrated here in the next few verses, and the future history of their descendants is manifested in prophecy reaching through thousands of years. What's going to happen? We're going to look at this. Now, these boys are at least 100 years old when they come out of here. Noah's wife was about 150 years older than he was. And she was a direct descendant of Shem. Or not Shem, but Seth. Yes.
So Ham went into the tent and had sex with his mom?
Yes, that's what most of the rabbis agree.
Oh, okay.
And the progeny of that was Canaan.
Right. Now, this doesn't say that specifically, but what you're saying is, saw the nakedness of his father.
Yeah.
That's the phrase that...
Did you lose by seeing your mother? You see the nakedness of, when you see your mother, you see the nakedness of your father. You're dishonoring your father by seeing the nakedness of your mother, because that's his. That's your mother is his. She's part of him.
That can't just mean that he actually saw them naked?
No. There's more to it than that. Why did he curse Canaan? Let's go on.
Okay.
All right. Wayakah.
Shem.
Wayapheth. Ha sim la et ha sim la. Mine's mixed up here that I can hardly read in my writing. Wayisimu al Shechem. Shenahim, Wayelachu, Acho Ranith, Wai Shashu, Et, Erwath, Abahim, Yufenahim, Acharanith, Weerwath, Abahim, Lo, Rau. And he took Shem. Shem means what? What Shem means? Name or monument? Now, this is a son that's going to be very important because this is the father of the Hebrew race right here. And took Shem, and it names him first. Because now we have Shem that's the most honorable, but we're going to see these two boys do something in poetic unison. And he took and kept on taking Shem and Japheth as a unit. These two boys are spoken of as a unit. They're doing something in unison here. They're concerted. They're concerted efforts. Japheth means what? Spreading. Spreading. And it also means fair. Et is the sign of the direct object. And then we have the word ha-simlah, the wrappers. Himation is the Greek word for this. Their wrappers, their garments. And third person, masculine, plural, cowl, consecutive, and infinitive. And they put upon their shoulders, both of them. And in unison, they walk backwards. In unison, they walk backwards as a unit. And they went and walked backwards. And they covered... and they did it, the word's PL stem there. What does that mean? You remember what that means, Christine? PL stem?
It's a point of time?
No, PL stem, Roger.
Like with intensity.
Well, intensity. Right. They were in a hurry to do this. With great force they did this. They were embarrassed over what their brother had done. So they're going to try to cover these people up. Okay? Walked backwards and they covered... They covered hurriedly and violently. They covered the nakedness of their father, which could have been what?
Their mother.
This word nakedness is gymnosusin. Gymnosusin in Greek. Gymnosusin in Greek substitution. What's gymnosusin? Gymnosusin. Gymnastics. What is gymnastics? They did all their sports naked. The nakedness, that's what it, in the Greek word, they wrestled naked, they boxed naked, they jumped naked, they ran naked, whatever they did it naked, and that's what were the word gymnosusin, nakedness. The nakedness of their Abihem, of their father, the father belonging to them. And the faces, backwards. All right, they kept their faces away from him. And the nakedness of their father, not they had seen. They did not see it. Now, we can go to different parts of the Bible. And let's look at some verses in different places. Let's go to... Genesis 49, verse 3 and 35, 22. Genesis 49. Well, let's go to Genesis 35, 22 first. If I can find it in my Bible. Genesis 35, 22. And Israel journeyed on and pitched his tent. Now, who's this talking about, Israel, in verse number 21? Who's Israel here? Who's Israel? Is Jacob. Mm-hmm. The individual. Verse 20, and Jacob set up a pillar over her grave, and that is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. And Israel journeyed on and pitched his tent beyond the tower of Edor. And it came about while Israel was dwelling in the land that Reuben went in and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. All right. And this is who? Reuben. What does Reuben mean in Hebrew? Reuben. Brother Roger. Mm. Reuben. Ru is the root of it. And Ben. Ru, Ben.
Something with Ben was my son.
Saul's son. I saw a son. And his wife said, see the son. This was his firstborn son. See a son. Son is born. This is your heir. His heir did what? He went in and raped his concubine. Now the 12 sons of Jacob, the sons of Leah, Reuben, and firstborn Simeon and Levi, and all this goes on. And it finds out that he, when he breathed his last, one of his last sayings was, you dishonored me, you saw my nakedness. And he cursed him. And he did not, he was not then the firstborn. He did not receive the inheritance. All right? He was replaced. Now let's go on a little bit further now in verse 49 and verse 3. Let's go and see the rest of the story. 49 and verse 3. These boys were rough. Now we remember that Jacob, when he was in the land, and the boys sold Joseph into slavery. That Joseph went into Egypt and slavery into Egypt, which is a type of Israel, was going to be down there in slavery in Egypt. And that the boys in the land, they went into Shechem, and Shechem wanted to marry Dinah, which is a feminine form of Dan. He wanted to marry Dinah. And they made a contract with a whole inhabitants of Shechem that if they got circumcised, if they became Jews, so to speak, that and observed their religion, that he could have that girl for his wife. And after they were circumcised, and I mean, this was very open back then. Everybody come by, they were circumcised. Click, 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 click. After 3 days, these boys were sore. So Levi and Simeon go in there and they kill them all. And they dishonor Jacob's Israel name. And then we have the Canaanite wars after that. It doesn't tell you much in the Bible, but if you read the book of Jasher, we find out that they killed at least 10,000 people over that act. A lot of people died because of what they did there. Those boys. So, 49 and verse number 3. Now, Jacob is, this is Israel or Jacob's prophecy in 49 verse 1. Then Jacob summoned his sons and said, assemble yourselves that I may tell you what shall befall you in the days to come. And gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel your father. First thing he does is what? The first thing he remembers. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Uncontrolled as water, you shall not have preeminence. You lost it. Because you went to your father's bed and you defiled and you went into my couch. And then he says, Simeon and Levi are brothers. The swords are implements of violence. Do you see this? They cursed themselves. Did Levi ever have an inheritance? No. Never had an inheritance. Why? Because of what he did. This is a priestly tribe. Let my soul not enter into their council. Let not my glory be united with their assembly because of their anger. They slew men. They slew men that were religiously their brothers then. Bad. This is terrible. And their self-will, they lamed oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. The first thing he does is curse them. He cursed those three boys. Reuben, because he dishonored his bed. All right, now let's go on a little bit further as we're looking at this. Leviticus 18, chapter 8, 9, and 11. Leviticus. Leviticus, the 18th chapter.
9 and 11.
Uh-huh. 8, 9, and 11. 18th chapter 8. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. Do you understand what we're talking about here? Verse 9, the nakedness of your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether born in a home or born outside, their nakedness you shall not uncover. What is it saying here? Don't have sex with them. Okay? Verse number 11, 10. And the nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for their nakedness is yours. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter born to your father, she is your sister, you shall not uncover her nakedness. Actually, it says your father's nakedness. The 20th chapter, going over to the 20th chapter, we've got to get a foundation for this, you know. The 20th chapter, verses 11. 20 and verse 11. 10. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, and one who commits adultery with his friend and wife, and the adulterer shall surely be put to death. And he's talking about adultery here now and sexual sin. If there is a man who lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered what? His nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death, and their blood guiltiness be as upon them. Go on down to verse number 20 now. If there is a man who lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his what? His uncle's nakedness, and they shall bear their sin, and they shall die childless. Now let's go into 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, the 16th chapter. 2 Samuel, chapter 16. And this is written because of what happened in Genesis. Do you know that? This is written because of what happened in Genesis, the 9th chapter. Do you understand this? The 16th chapter of 2 Samuel. We're having a story of Absalom here, which was David's favorite son. He loved that boy. But that boy was rotten. Rotten to the core. And besides whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in your father's presence, so I will be in your presence. So Absalom said to Ahithophel, give your advice and you shall do. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubines. Who were his concubines? His wives. Whom he has left to keep the house, then all Israel will hear that you have made yourself odious to your father. And the hands of all who are with you will also be strengthened. He's going to insult his father in the worst way. Now let's see what he did.
What verse are you
at? I'm in verse number 21. 2 Samuel 16:21. And so they pitched the tent for Absalom on the roof. And Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. He took those women, stripped those women, and had sex with them up high where everybody walked by could see it. This is really shaming his father. And the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as one who inquired of the word of the God. So as were all the advice of Ahithophel regarded by David and Absalom. Now this was also written because of what happened in Genesis. It goes back. Nothing happens in the Bible. We see this. There's always a reason for this writing. So now let's go on a little bit further. Now we... Yes.
I don't understand this on 23. This is the council of Ahithophel in those days. Was as if a man had consulted the word of God. So was all of Ahithophel's counsel considered both by David and Absalom. So they consider his word
powerful. It was a judge.
But he counseled something really wicked.
Yeah, he did. He counseled something. But Balaam was a prophet, wasn't he? But he was a bad prophet. Balaam was down in Egypt. Down there. That was his two boys. Jannes and Jambres were his two sons down there that fought with Moses and Aaron in the temple of the house of Pharaoh. And that guy shows up later and later. The devil gave him a long life of nothing but problems. And he prophesied, and some of his prophecies were true. Why? Because he was a real prophet. A real prophet. Some of these people that are prophesying and consoling with the sheriff's department and everything, you know, where they find these dead bodies and things, they're what we call seances, or they have extra sensory powers. They have them, but it is not of God. Not of God. And the neck is of their father, and their faces they went backwards, and their father not they saw. Now, verse number 24 in Genesis 9, verse 24. Why ye cats? Noah. May ye no. Why ye da? Et Asher. Asa. Lo. Beno. Hagata. Now let's look at this intensely. And he woke up and he stayed awake. Noah. What does Noah mean? Pamela? Peace. Peace and safety. In the days of Noah shall in the coming of the Son of Man will be like in the days of Noah. Noah meant peace and safety. Noah was a type of what? Type of Christ. There's a tribulation period coming upon this earth. And you better be in Christ. So he will lift you up with the waters of grace, so to speak. And lift you up in that ark of safety up here while he pours out his tribulation upon the earth. Noah. The first 10 names in the Bible tell the whole story of the Messiah and God's plan of salvation. The first 10 names, the meanings of those names, tell us all about the whole story of the plan of salvation and God's redemption. And he awoke and stayed awake, Noah, from his wine. We have there, May ye know. From the wine of him. That may, that comes from man, that's preposition, page 580, right there on the front of that, from his wine. Of the wine of him. And he knew and kept on knowing that which he had done to him, his son. Hagata, the youngest. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not, but this is what some of the rabbis say. The rabbis say that Noah didn't have any more children, did he? Now, we know that he could have had children. It's possible. A woman could have 1,000 children. That's possible. And Eve probably had at least 1,000 children when she was alive. And if indeed Noah and his wife were cohabiting here when Ham came upon them, that was possible. But now, some of the rabbis say one of the terrible sins that he did was that he emasculated his father, that he castrated his father. This is a wicked, wicked act. Okay? If it would have been a wicked act, if this did happen. I don't know. But that's not what the rabbis say. And he awoke Noah from his wine. If that had happened to him, I guarantee you he knew it. Did he not? And if his wife had been raped, he knew it. And he knew that which he had done to him, his son, the youngest, Hagata, Beno, son of him. What does the word son Ben mean? According to a pattern. Boy, this wasn't a good pattern, was it? The youngest. It's Neoteros. Neoteros, the youngest. It says in Greek, in the Septuagint, Kai egno hosa epoieson autu ho huios autu Neoteros. And he knew and had known thoroughly, completely, that which he had performed to him, the son, the heir, the youngest. Whatever happened there. Now we're going to find some of the rest of the story. Let's go look at this. Wyomer, Arur, Canaan, Ebed, Abedim, Yeah, Lee Chaw. And he kept on saying, cursed, cursing, 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 Arur. What does Arur mean? Remember what that means?
Isn't it evil?
It means evil. It means naked. It means wicked. It means deceitful. It means wickedness. Lie, steal, cheat, all those things. The Bible in Genesis, third chapter, says that the Nahash, and the serpent, he became wicked. And it also says that Lucifer became wicked. What did Lucifer try to do? Lucifer, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, what did he try to do? What did he do? Lucifer is a Latin form of what? Hallel. Hallel is his Hebrew name. When they did the Latin Vulgate, Jerome translated the word Hallel into the Latin Lucifer, which we get the name Luke from. Luke and Lucifer are the same name. Luke and Lucifer, same name. It's not a bad name. If you called your son Lucifer today, you're not calling him the devil. Not calling him the devil, you're calling him Luke, which was also one of the writers of the New Testament, one Luke. Called Lucan. Luke means light in Latin. Lucere, light. So don't be afraid to name your child Luke or Lucifer. Phil didn't. Brother Phil didn't. He became evil. Became evil. And he cursed Canaan. Why did he curse Canaan? Canaan was Ham's possession. Let's look at this. Who would settle in the land of Palestine? Canaan. Canaan would settle in the land of Palestine. That's what we call the land of Canaan or the land of Canaan. Are you people learning something tonight?
I am, but I'm a little confused.
Okay.
These are the Canaanites.
This is the father of all the Canaanites. Okay. These people are going to be sexually as sinful as their father was. Canaan took after all the bad traits of Ham. Now, not all of Ham's descendants took after these terrible traits. But this group was bad from this incestuous product, they say. What?
Why God said later to wipe them out?
Yes, that's right. Not only that, but before the flood, what was one of the reasons for the flood? Genesis, the sixth chapter, Sharon.
The sexual sins.
Of what?
Of the fallen angels.
The fallen angels came down and took wives, and they brought forth, what were these called?
Nephilim.
And it said that Nephilim existed before the flood, and one of the reasons for the flood was to kill off all the Nephilim, because these were giants. These were large half hybrids of angels and women. And it said that they existed before the flood and after the flood. Name me one or two Nephilim hybrids after the flood.
Goliath
and Og, and all of Goliath's four brothers and their father. These are all Nephilim. Nephilim means what? Remember what that Nephale means, brother? Robert? Fallen ones. These are fallen ones. These people, and by the way, when Lucifer fell from the presence of God, and God, Jesus said he saw him falling to the earth as a lightning bolt. And of course, in Genesis 1 and 2, what happens there? We ha aretz, haya tohu abohu, we hoshuk el panei tahom, we ruah elohim, meripacheth el panei hamayim. And the earth, she had become formless and void. She had become, and the Bible tells us in Isaiah and several other places that the earth was not created formless and void. But what happened? What caused chaos on the earth? God didn't create chaos. Now, if you take the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew translations of the Hebrew Bible, they said God began to create the earth, the heavens and the earth, and it was formless and void. But that's not what it says in Hebrew. They're just not reading their own language. The Bible says, and the earth she had become formless and void. And that spirit God, and they say a wind from God, went over the faces of the waters. But it says in the Hebrew that spirit God suffered over, mourned over the faces of the waters. And then he begins to reconstruct the earth at that period of time. Satan destroys, God creates, and God constructs. And God always creates order, doesn't he? Was Adam sinful when he created him? Was Lucifer sinful when he created him? Was the serpent sinful when he created him? No. Were in all the angels, now one-third of the angelic forces went with Lucifer. One-third of the spiritual forces went with Lucifer. Now, angels have form. They go from dimension to dimensions. And how many dimensions are there? 10 dimensions, but we don't know, we can't cross those dimensions, but spirits and angels go between them, and so can Jesus. And he did that after the resurrection. That's why he could walk through doors and walls and stuff. He cursed Canaan. Cursing, 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 masculine, singular, cal, perfect participle. Having been cursed and being cursed, Canaan, slave of slaves, he may become and keep on becoming to his brothers. Why did he make him a slave, a serpent? If he was the product, the progeny of this incestuous affair. Now, Canaan. Southern Baptists are Southern Baptists, aren't they? All right, Southern Baptists for many years, they kept slaves, didn't they? And they kept slaves because of this verse right here. This is the reason why they kept slaves. All people that had slaves in the world, they had slaves because of this. And all of the darker races were considered cursed. Indians, blacks, all of these darker races are considered slaves. So they went and captured them. And did this because many of the writers said, well, these black people, these Canaan's descendants, and who were they? All of the darker races. They're all going to be slaves, they said. But we're not talking about all of Ham's descendants, are we? We're talking about who? Canaan. And Canaan is the possessor of Canaan land. Now, here we have a prophecy. This is a prophecy. That, also we find out later on that Abraham was told, you know, when Abraham went down to Egypt, when God told him to go to the land of Canaan, go to the land of possession, I'm going to give that land to you. Look up in the heavens, see the stars of the sky. That's all going to be your spiritual descendants. Look at the sands of the sea. That's going to be your physical descendants. You're going to have a lot of them. You're going to have a lot of spiritual descendants. You're going to have a lot of physical descendants. And he went into the land of Canaan and he got scared. And what did he do? Run off down to Egypt because there wasn't enough food there. And when he went down to Egypt, he started lying and cheating. He was a used car salesman, so to speak. He took his wife, which was his half-sister, and sold her for a virgin. Used car salesman, see? There's nothing wrong with it. Kick those tires like that and go around and slam those doors and whatever. This is a wonderful car. Just never been driven except to church on Sunday, you know. A little old lady from Pasadena or whatever. I know all about that. See, I was a mechanic in a used car dealer. Yeah. We took those engines apart. We put leather around the rod sometimes, you know, the way they did back then. And, that's a brand new engine. Clean it all up, paint it and everything. That's brand new rebuilt. The thing's falling apart. But that's what they say. Go 100 miles and fall apart. Good paint job. Good paint job. Paint the batteries. Take the batteries out and paint the batteries. Brand new battery. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Mike? This is I worked up and down Edison Highway, the strip, you know, and all those car lots up and down through there. We did that. Cleaned those cars up, shine them all up. And when I became a used car salesman one time. I was young. I was a used car salesman. I went out there, and you know what I did? Being the person that I am or whatever, people would come into that used car lot, and they say, I want to look at that car over there. I said, well, this one's over here is better. Because that car was leather on the rods, you know, whatever. And I knew this one was good. And I said, look at this one over here. And I get in there and start it up. They're over there looking at that one because they think I'm trying to sell them the bad car, but I'm trying to sell them the good car. They expect me to be a scoundrel, just like the rest of them. Then, well, I didn't do very well. I was being honest with these people. I wanted them to get a good car. Well, God prophesied that the descendants of Canaan would be slaves, the slaves of slaves, the slaves of slaves, the lowest form of the slave. Now, they would go into that land and they would build vineyards and they would build farms. They would have orchards. They would have cattle and sheep and everything. Now, some of these were so infected with sin and disease that God would say when they go into that area, what did he tell them to do? Kill every man, woman, child, and all their animals. They had venereal disease and everything else, sexual sins, just like this boy here was a product. And you know what? When they went into the land, when they took the land, that was the fulfillment of this prophecy. Now, they've never had all the land yet, except in David's time. They never had all of this land of Palestine, but they're going to have it. And the Jews say, it's ours. Our national our national asset is God. God gave it to us. But I'm going to tell you something about that Palestinian covenant. That's a conditional covenant, isn't it? If you do this, I will do this. If you do this, I will do this. Now, there's going to be a king. The king, the son of David, what we call the Davidic covenant. How many of you heard of the Davidic covenant? Heard of the Davidic covenant? The Davidic covenant is that God is going to put his son, the son of David, which is Jesus, over that land. Ezekiel 36:25-38. But right here, God's going to beat Israel up real good to bring them to their knees. Right now, they don't meet the requirements of having that land of Palestine. They're still in rebellion against God, and that conditional covenant is still a conditional covenant, and they will have to be broken before they meet the requirements of having that land, and God is going to give it to them. They can't fight for it. You're not going to grab it up in the Six-Day War and all this kind of stuff. You know, they took a lot of land. Well, the Lord was with them in getting them into the land, but they are still in living in rebellion against God. Right here in the middle of this tribulation period, we find out that there's going to be an Antichrist come on the scene, and he's going to rule for how many years? 7 years. Now, we see this, and we see also in the Quran. I want to share a little Quranic evidence to you. The Quran says that there's going to be three people come forth in the last days. The first one is going to be the Mahdi. The Mahdi is going to come, and he's going to be a descendant of Muhammad, and he's going to be the very reincarnation of Muhammad. And he's going to come out overnight, and he's going to stand up, and he's going to call all Islam to him, the Mahdi is. And then there's going to be a beast that comes out of Arabia that's going to mark all the foreheads and all the hands with the name of the prophet. The name of the Antichrist, the number of the Antichrist. Now, we know that today the jihadists and everything else, they go there, and on their foreheads and on their arms, bands and everything is, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Now, we have three individuals that are going to come up in Islam. We have three individuals in the Bible. We talk about the Antichrist, we have the beast and false prophet in the book of Revelation, don't we? Ezekiel and Daniel. The Quran says that the beast is going to come forth, and he's going to have power and give power unto the Mahdi, and he's going to do some miracles. What does it say in the Bible? Is it going to happen? He's going to mark all those true believers with this mark, the name of the Antichrist. Okay? and they're going to go out and they're going to kill. The Bible says they will kill 5 out of every 6 people in the world. Did you know that? They're going to kill 5 out of every 6 people in the world. And they're going to kill 2 out of every 3 Jews. But right here in the middle of this period, we have the false prophet, or the Antichrist, which is maybe the equivalent of the Mahdi in the book of the Quran. And we have the beast. And then we have the Jesus of the Quran, Muhammad's Jesus. What's Muhammad's Jesus going to do? He's going to kill all the Jews. He's going to kill all the Christians, and he's going to kill all the pigs. And the Bible says that there's going to be Jesus is going to come back. And it says he's going to save his people, didn't he? First of all, he's going to rapture his church, I believe, in the very, very right at the beginning of this tribulation period. He's going to rapture his church and all the saved. And last week we learned that the church and the saved are different, aren't they? Not the same group. All right? And the bride and the saved are not the same group. There's going to be a lot of guests at the wedding. That's the Hebrew wedding we talked about last week. They're going to be raptured up here, and there's going to be a how long wedding feast? A week of years. And it says it's also the tribulation period. It's going to be a week of great trouble for Daniel's people, which is Israel. Now, the beast and the Mahdi is going to rule for how many years according to the Quran? 7 years. Does this sound something like alike? Right here in the middle of this tribulation period. Now, the Quran says that the Kaaba, which is in Mecca, is going to be moved, that stone is going to be moved to Jerusalem, and that the Mahdi is going to build a temple in Jerusalem. They're going to move that stone there, and that will be the center of Islamic worship. And what does the Bible say about that? That the Antichrist is going to build a temple in Jerusalem. Does it not say that? Mm-hmm. We understand things that could be happening here right in our own times today, right? We might be seeing the beginning of all of this. You can learn a lot of things from the book of Genesis. Did you know that? You can learn a lot. Canaan land, Palestine, this is it. Jerusalem is the old city of Jebus. Jerusalem means what? The city of peace. Jerusalem. The city of peace. Right here, after the contract has been made, the Jews think they're safe. Right in the middle of this period, the Antichrist is going to stand in the temple of God in Jerusalem and say that he is God and you worship me. Muhammad attributed almost all of the attributes of God and Jesus to himself.
He's counterfeited.
Counterfeit. Counterfeit religion. Right here, then, when the Jews, the Lord says, when you see the abomination, desolation of Daniel, flee to the mountains, which many people believe is Petra. They're going to flee down there, and then God is going to cause the earth to take the armies of the Antichrist, which could be this Islamic army, and swallow them up and protect them down there for the last 3.5 years. And finally down here, we have the last battle, and the Lord is going to establish his kingdom, the Davidic kingdom, for 1,000 years. A lot of people don't believe in the millennial reign of Christ, but the word millennium is Latin. It's milli. The Greek word is kile, kilio, kili, kilo, kilo, milli. Same thing. Milli eter, 1,000 years. This is a 1,000-year reign of Christ, according to Ezekiel 36:25-38. And it's prophesied all the way from the book of Genesis on. If we'd gone on a little bit more in the 49th chapter, we'd have read about this kingdom. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah that shall reign. The Davidic kingdom. All this was prophesied before it ever happened. But God just keeps laying one stone upon another all the way through the Old Testament. Let's go on a little bit further. Now, these servants of servants will go into the land of Canaan. They will build this. And God told Abraham that his people were going to go down, his descendants were going to go down into Egypt. And they weren't very many yet. From the line of Sarah. Abraham had 3 wives, didn't he? First of all, the one that first produced the first child was Hagar, which was a Hamite. The second one, a Shemite, and the third one was a Japhethite. That's Keturah. And he had several sons by Keturah, and they're the ones that many of those are the origin of the Arab races, and even Alexander the Great, they say, came from that, which God allowed Alexander the Great to bring into the Greek language, which we have the New Testament in. We even had the Old Testament in it, and the Greek Septuagint in the time of Christ, which is the most perfect language that ever was. God allowed and developed that language that we can have our New Testament in. They're going to get their land back right here after they meet the requirements. The land, the curse of the servants of Canaan's children, was fulfilled already. Most of these descendants of Canaan are dead. These people. Now we have a different group in there. We have Keturahs. Most Arabs are not from Ishmael, but from Keturah. Even Muhammad made a mistake and said that he was from one of those descendants of Keturah and not Ishmael. I'm sure he was from both. But he named that one with which went to Keturah.
I get confused with the Palestinians. Where are they in this family thing?
They're Arabs.
Arab.
They're Arab people. Israel, most of Israel was carried off in the dispersion. See, look. The dispersion of Israel, 36:16-19. When they crucified their Messiah, and they said to Pontius Pilate, "Let his blood be upon us and our children," they cursed themselves. And Jesus stood on the Mount of Olives, and he looked over to the city of Jerusalem. He said, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how many times I would have called you like a mother hen calls a baby chicken." Have you seen those? When a mother hen goes, what does a baby chicken do? Zoom. But you would not come. Chickens got better sense than that, than those Jews. They wouldn't come. He said there won't be one, throughout many days left, there won't be one stone left upon another.
So they're Arabs. They're not Jews.
They're all sons of Abraham. They're all sons of Abraham, but they're the Arabs. They're sons from Ishmael and Keturah. All right? These are the ones. We have the Japhethites, the pure Japhethites, the Germans, the Northern Europe, Russians, all of those. Those are all from Japheth, spreading. We're going to get into that. We're going to trace those descendants pretty soon and see what they did in the world. Is this interesting to you? But a lot of this prophecy is something that was going to happen. This is going to happen. This is prophecy. And when the Lord speaks prophecy, it's as good as done. As good as done. There's an old saying about 30 years ago. It says, I believe the Bible. God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. It settles it. God's word is rock solid. The church wasn't built on Peter. The church was built on Jesus. Peter was that little stone. Jesus is that large rock. All right, Petra. I know half of the Protestant world and the Anglican world and the Catholic world all has the church being built upon Peter, but it's built upon Christ. Peter even said it's built upon Christ, not him. Do you have any questions right here?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so we have verse 24 when Noah woke up and saw what his youngest son did.
Yeah.
And then we jump to verse 25 where he cursed.
Now we have the curse and prophecy.
But how does he know that his wife's pregnant and she's going to give birth and call him Canaan?
This is prophecy. Did Daniel know what he was writing about?
So there's no lapse of time here.
No.
I was thinking there was
this is prophecy. This is prophecy.
Oh, okay.
This is prophecy. And it covers thousands of years.
Okay, and then my other question is, when
now
God,
we got more prophecy coming.
Yes.
This isn't the last. This isn't the finish of this prophecy.
No, I know.
Yeah.
So when God created Adam and Eve, they obviously, their siblings and their cousins and aunts and uncles obviously had to cohabitate.
Yes, they did.
To populate the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So why was this point? I mean, obviously it wasn't right because he was cursed, but why was this not okay at this point of time? Had it already been told to them not to do that anymore?
At this point of time?
Yeah.
At this point of time, we have the earth. The earth has been destroyed by water. We're repopulating the earth, and this is what's going to happen in the repopulated earth. And these descendants of Canaan will go into the land of Canaan, and they're going to be, God is going to let them go in there. They're going to build up this land, and then God's going to take it away from them because they're not worthy. How much of the earth is God's?
All of it.
All of it. He can do with what he wants to. That's what we call the sovereignty of God. And he can do with what he wishes.
Yeah, but what I mean
now, he allowed them to go in there.
Yeah, but what I mean is, why is him having sex with his mother after the flood, when there's only, what, 8 of them, why is that not okay now?
It's not okay because his mother was his father's wife, and she was his father's sister. A man shall leave his mother and father, and Adam said this, but he didn't have a mother and father, did he? But he said, a man shall leave his mother and father, and the two shall become what? One flesh. So a man's wife is his flesh. That's his possession, even though we don't like to say that. It is become, she's become part of him.
So the husbands and wives didn't have sex with anybody else but themselves. But the children, because yeah.
Well, now,
had to be repopulated somehow. They had 8, and now we got all these people.
Well, now they're going to start all over again. Now, later on, we have the law of Moses. How many years later was Moses when God started prohibiting going? They could marry cousins, but did Abraham send for one of the cousins of Isaac?
Well, and he was married to his half-sister.
He married to his half-sister.
Yeah.
Okay. They were still doing this, but then later on, during the law of Moses, we have the law of Hammurabi, didn't we? The law of Hammurabi, you know, back then. That's one of the oldest written laws that we have. Abraham was under that law. The book, the law of Moses, I'm not saying it copied that, but many of the laws that they had back at that period of time, which we have old Laban quoting it, doesn't he? Well, the law, our law says I can't give you my youngest daughter first. And they were probably, Rachel and Leah were probably twins. But Leah was born first. And they were young, too, by the way. He said, we can't do that. And he was quoting the law of Hammurabi, not the law of Moses. Because, what? Moses hadn't come along yet, had he? We're way back here at this period of time. The earth hasn't been divided yet. We don't have continents on the earth. We still have Pangaea. When during this period of time, though, they were supposed to scatter and multiply, weren't they? Well, they didn't scatter. They did what? They built that big city. We find out that the Canaanites finally go over the land. They didn't even exist yet, did they? But this is prophecy. Prophecy. Prophecy is by inspiration. It's not something that comes from you. You are, the very terms you use are inspired. I'm not an inspired prophet, but I do preach from that inspired word. And I can tell you all the words. It's very important. We have all this. Then we're going to have the Tower of Babel, and God is going to divide, confuse the languages, and then he's going to do what? In the days of Pele, he does what? He divides the earth in the days of Pele. And there's where we have the mountains starting and all this. That's before we have the earth divided. Any other questions?
So let me just nail this down for me.
Okay.
So it's not okay if you're married. It's not okay. I mean, obviously, it's not okay to have sex with anybody else. That's not what I'm saying. But
no.
But in the time of repopulating the earth, so like Noah's.
They were marrying brothers and sisters and cousins and all
like
that kind of stuff.
Noah's 3 sons had 3 wives.
Yes.
And Noah was married to his wife. So it would have to be their.
They had wives. They were supposed to produce from those wives.
Right, but their kids.
But Ham blew it.
Right, Ham created. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And that product was Canaan, according to the rabbi.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I can read that to you here. I'll read just a little bit of it, if I can do it. Ham and the father Canaan saw the nakedness of his father and told his. 2 brothers and Noah, on the basis of that, since Noah cursed Ham by his 4th son, Canaan, Ham has suggested that Ham may have had intercourse with his father's wife. Under this interpretation, Canaan is cursed as a product of Ham's illicit incestual union with his mother. That's quoting one of the rabbis. Okay.
And so, and then here when it says that, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, mm-hmm. and told his two. So he went out and told.
He
his
come out and bragged about it. He came out and bragged about it.
Good night. What does his wife think about all that?
Just a possession. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many wives he ended up with after all of this was over with. Who knows? We don't know all the information.
Right.
The Bible does not tell us the whole story. It just tells us the most important story.
Right.
In the book of Jasher, which is a history book, HaSefer Yashur, that's it. Okay, I even got it with me, I think.
Let me pull it out here so you can see the thing.
What does the name Ham mean?
Ham means dark, swarthy, dark. Here is a book of Jasher. This tells you, this is a history book. This is not inspired. This is a history book. This book tells you all the in-between things that we are not seeing. The names of those wives, where they came from, everything. How old they were, who their mothers and fathers were, and it's full of information, just full of it. We know what Noah's wife's name was. Noah's wife's name was what?
Naaman.
According to this book here, she was 150 years older, and he tells where her come from. He tells you the name of Ham, Shem, and Japheth's wives and all that kind of stuff, and he talks about all of the same things we're talking about. He talks about the Nephilim, the giants and all that. This is all in that book. All right? Any other questions? I'm sorry I got started late tonight, but I finished late to make up for it. Yes, young lady.
Well, it seems to me
we're not finished with the story.
Yeah. Lucifer's big sin was wanting to take God's place.
Yes.